Yeah, that's right. The Doobie Brothers are going into the Rock Hall of Fame. They announced the latest inductees for the class of 2020 this past Wednesday. More than 1,000 voters, artists, historians, critics, executives selected Whitney Houston, the Notorious B.I.G., Depeche Mode, Nine Inch Nails, T-Rex, and the Doobie Brothers amongst 60 nominees, I believe, is where we started with in this whole process. And as it has since the 2014 inductees, the Rock Hall has also tallied a fans ballot. The fans ballot always is controversial because, you know, how come some people get in by the critics and the experts and their the people that they kind of worked with over the years, and then fans get to choose something too? So it's always an issue. This year, Dave Matthews won the fan vote with over 1 million votes. But for the first time since fan voting started, the fan favorite didn't win induction. Among the five fan favorites, only 70s California pop rock band The Doobie Brothers got in. So here's where the 16 nominees were in the beginning of this process. Pat Benatar, first-time nominee, which is tragic when you think about that.
Yeah.
That it was the first time. And I interviewed her, and we'll play that a little later, but I interviewed her 5 years ago, and we talked about the Rock Hall. And she was surprised back then that there just wasn't activity surrounding her.
That, to me, is just not only just a shame, but, I mean, you were looking at articles this week, and Yahoo in particular had one by Susie Quattro saying that the snubs are just, Quattro. It's just plain stupid.
Yeah.
And when you're getting frustration out of the rockers who have been waiting, you know, and waiting for their turn, and it, not even just in the music case, but in all instances, you got sports hall of fames, you've got, you know, the
radio hall of fame,
you got all
controversy
across,
always.
All across the board, it's always a controversy.
Do you know who Susie Quattro is or was?
I don't, but I was reading the article about how
she was rock and roller,
obviously.
But she was Leather Tuscadero on Happy Days.
Okay.
She had a role.
Yeah.
Just Pinky's niece or sister, I don't know what it was, sister, I think. But it's a head scratcher. Like, how does, you know, and Whitney Houston eventually getting in and so forth. But, you know, Pat has been on the scene doing this since 1972. Whitney since 1985. It's just a head scratcher for me. The other ones, Dave Matthews, that was a first time nominee. Depeche Mode, the Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Judas Priest, Kraftwerk, MC5, Motorhead, Nine Inch Nails, the Notorious B.I.G., Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, Todd Rundgren, Soundgarden. These were the original nominees, T-Rex, Thin Lizzy. But the fan vote numbers, this is the one that's perplexing to me, okay? So Dave Matthews, 1 million votes.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Benatar, almost 900,000 votes. The Doobie Brothers, 784. So they're number three, but they're getting in. Soundgarden, 722. Judas Priest, 675. Whitney Houston, 593.
Yeah.
Depeche Mode, 563. Thin Lizzy, 556. It's just, you know, they're calling BS on all
but
this.
But aren't they saying, though, too, like, doesn't the fan vote account for something when it comes to voting these guys in? Because if that's the case, if you're...
Well, then Dave Matthews should have been in.
Well, that's my point. You can't say that fans have a say, quote-unquote, say in it, when you aren't having the top three or top four most voted artists getting in. Because Dave Matthews, like I said, like you said, had the most votes.
But I would put in Pat Benatar. I would put the Doobie Brothers. I'd put Judas Priest in before Dave Matthews.
I understand. Mean, but that's your fan vote, though. But what I'm saying is that the overall projection and the overall decision-making process, you can't say that a fan vote has a quote-unquote say in it when you aren't inducting the top two or three or four or five, wherever you want to put that number at, when you aren't inducting those people in or including that fan vote into the account of getting these people in,
right?
I don't think you can say that the fan vote has a part of it if you're not getting them in.
I agree. 312-981-7200. If you want to jump into the conversation, you can text, you can call, whatever you'd like to do. Who should be in that's not in? And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, too. Text from 773. What about Joe Cocker? Joe Cocker and Jethro Tull not in the Hall of Fame. So you think about Depeche Mode and some of these other ones that kind of snuck through.
Yeah.
Joe Cocker, rock and roll, 60s, 70s. I don't get it. Like,
I love
how
Joe Cocker.
Neither are in. 815, one of the most overlooked for the Rock Hall is Warren Zevon.
Yeah, that's another good one.
I mean,
that's another good one.
You talk about, and it'd be posthumous at this point, but I mean, you talk about a true rock and roller, Warren Zevon. I'm going to give you a little time to think about this. 312-981-7200. Got some text coming in. We'll weigh in on these snubs or others. We'll pick up the conversation about the Rock Hall class of 2020 right after this on 720 WGN. Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and this year's class of inductees. Pat Benatar. Listen to that. I mean, that is classic rock and roll from the 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is somebody that should be in. Going through some texts here. 312 says Tina Turner is in the hall with Ike Turner, but not as a solo artist. That's Tom.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tom, totally agree with this. Now, you think about Tina Turner, much bigger, her solo career, than anything she ever did with Ike, besides Ike being a dink in life. She holds the Guinness World Record of the most concert tickets ever sold. She has earned 11 Grammys in a variety of categories, including R&B, rock, and pop. She earned the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 2018. That's another one.
Yeah.
No question in my mind. I guess, you know, does the Rock Hall think, okay, they're already in with their band, with their singing partner, whatever it might be. They're good for now. Now we'll wait a little bit to do that. I don't know what the philosophy is behind it, but yeah, I mean, the classics, Ike and Tina, 1960s. But Tina had a whole other life outside of that that had nothing to do with Ike Turner.
I think my big problem with when it comes to not only just this hall, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but when it comes to every Hall of Fame is the fact of these quote-unquote classes. I get it. You want to get, you know, group people up and kind of bring people in slowly. But if you're going to induct the best of the best in rock and roll or the best of the best in any sport or the best of the best in radio or whatever your Hall of Fame may be, then bring in the best of the best. Then don't just have these little groups and snub people away. Because, I mean, you look at, for example, like, I hate to go out of the topic of music here, but like Ron Sano, who deserved to be in the Hall of Fame and was on the ballot for years, and then he finally gets in after he passed because he was in that quote-unquote class.
Yeah, right.
Whereas if they just put him in the beginning without having any sort of voting process, it would have just been a way easier and you could have seen a guy like that enjoy it.
You know who
even goes to the music, too.
You know who does, who actually, you know, and we've talked to Paul Schaefer about this a couple times. He used to play with Letterman. He is the musical director for the Hall of Fame. So he's on stage helping organizing all these bands that are on stage, plays with them. That's a guy that belongs in the Rock Hall. I mean, I think he's been the musical director for the Rock Hall for 35 years. And he's obviously talented on his own and playing with you know, Letterman in the most dangerous
band.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. He makes a legend of himself by being on those national television shows and those late night TV shows.
Yep. 630 says Todd Rundgren. Absolutely on that as well. 847, isn't there a controversy about the Monkees? Yes. And I talked to Mickey Dolenz about that years ago. So if you look at the eligibility for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, artists, a group encompassing performers, composers, musicians, become eligible for induction 25 years after the release of their first commercial recording. Besides demonstrating unquestionable musical excellence and talent, inductees will have a significant impact on the development, evolution, and preservation of rock and roll. Now, much of the Monkees' early hits, and I think it was the first two albums, were the results of great writers and Davey and Mickey's voices and the leads in most of them, but studio musicians played a big part, and there was actually some background singers that were added to some of the Monkees' stuff as well. But by their third album, you know, and they had to wrestle some control away from Don Kirshner at the time, who was producing all that stuff. Because, I mean, this was a band that was brought together for a TV series. So you have to think about the fact that they had to wrestle away their own music, and the album Headquarters and Onward, and Headquarters was okay, the album, is primarily the Monkees playing as a group. Now, people are on the fence about the Monkees as well, because they say, I mean, I guess 630 said, what about the Partridge Family? Now they're joking about that as well. Let's get the Brady Kids in there, too. No, but the Monkees really, at some point, were selling, you know, the Beatles were, you know, met with the Monkees and talked to them about their fame and their success. There was a time that they were outselling the Beatles.
Yeah.
The Monkees. And again, first two albums, totally manufactured. So I get that part. But they've been playing for 50-some years as a band all together until one by one some of them passed away.
Wasn't there a debate or an issue with some of the voters showing their ballots? Or maybe I'm missing that. I thought I remember something I'm coming across on social media. Maybe it was like Eddie Trunk or something like that who posted his ballot. And I think it was like he had Pat Benatar and Judas Priest. He had a few others on there as well. I'm trying to remember if that was actually the case. I'll look it up and see if I can find it. But I thought there might have been a second controversy besides the fact of who they voted. I thought there was another one about people showing their votes.
Somebody asked me from 630, is Frank Zappa in? Yes, he was inducted in 2013. Leon Russell, is he? Yes, he is. Leon Russell also in the Rock Hall. I'm trying to find, I think it was 2011. He passed away back in 2016. 312-981-7200 is the number. We're talking about this year's class of 2020. And when you look at the names on the list that we have here, it is, I'm trying to find it here as I just dropped everything on the floor. Hold on, everyone stand by. Please talk amongst yourselves for just 1 second. Yeah, so you've got the Doobie Brothers leading the way in all this. And then Whitney Houston, the Notorious B.I.G., Depeche Mode, Nine Inch Nails, T-Rex, all of these folks got in. And then, of course, the fan vote, which is the big controversy this year. I mean, the Radio Hall of Fame does a fan vote as well, and people seem to dig it. I think every year we look at the rules and make sure we're, you know, applying them properly, and the right people are being recognized, of course, in all this. But again, the big deal is there was people protesting outside of the Rock Hall the day of and the day after because Dave Matthews got over 1 million votes for the fan vote.
Yeah.
So the Doobie Brothers are celebrating 50 years this year. I think they just announced a massive tour that they're doing. And yeah, absolutely, they belong in there. But what does the fan vote mean if it's obviously doesn't count? You're going three people down the list. You're skipping over Dave Matthews. You're skipping over Pat Benatar.
Now, my question is that if they make it in next year, is this all going to be forgotten? Because like I was saying, you have these whole classes where they announce these people get in and these people have to wait.
Yeah.
You know, if Pat Benatar and Dave Matthews band get in next year, is this all out the window again? Or is this swept under the rug? Is it fine?
I talked to Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo probably 5 years ago. And we talked to him for about an hour and a half. And I introduced them, I think, as future Rock and Roll Hall of Famers 5 years ago because it made no sense to me then. Just play a little of that, if you would.
Yes, I'm going to say it, folks. Future Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, and that's Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo. Pat and Spider, welcome in.
Hey, thank you. How you doing?
How you doing today?
I am excellent. And yes, I'm going to say it, future Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. We got to make that happen. Well,
okay. That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. 5 years ago and still nothing. Which makes no sense to me. So, you know, you'll have to wait till next year. It's always a great event. There's a lot of people in the industry and a lot of bands that call BS out on the whole voting process in general, and they don't think much of it. But if you've ever seen the performances and the reunions that happen as a result of this, they're legendary. So, Rock Hall Class of 2020. We'll be right back.